Now, let me draw your attention to a few scriptures that throw some light on a very important matter for these days in which we live. Paul, in writing a letter to a friend, a young friend, he was giving him some encouragement, and in doing so, here's what he said: holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, in that same letter, he goes on to say this: now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Later on, he wrote another letter to that same young man, and in his second letter, again he said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see then how Paul, in writing a word of encouragement to his young friend, had to say many things about faith and about the faith. May I suggest this to all my listeners today: when we speak of the faith, we are referring to the thing that is believed. The truth you believe in the Bible is called the faith. For example, Jude, in writing his little epistle, said this: beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. There he's referring to the body of truth, that is, the body of Christian doctrine. He calls it the faith. So when you speak of the faith, you're referring to the thing that you believe, the doctrine you believe. But when you speak of faith, you're speaking of the thing you believe with. So there is a difference, but there is a very close link between what we believe and how we believe. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, the days in which we live are perilous days, difficult days. And we find that what Paul said to Timothy in these early days is true today. We find that some are departing from the faith. Now, if the faith is the body of truth that was once delivered to the saints, remember this, that we hold the Bible to be the Word of God, inerrant. God has delivered this truth to mankind. The things written in the Bible are not things that were discovered by men and put on record. These are truths that was revealed by God, given by revelation, not by discovery. Yet these things, as having been revealed by God, written in the Word, called the faith, some are departing from the faith. The Bible begins by telling us that in the beginning God created. Some are departing from that element of truth, from that element of the faith. Then we discover there are others who are overthrowing the faith of some. That is, they consider themselves to be very wise, and actually they're trying to overthrow the faith of believers. But now, in these times, there's strange happenings around us, and many of the strange things that take place would seem to contradict the truth concerning the love of God. They seem to contradict the fact that God in His power is a controlling God, for not only did God create, but God controls. There are some people suggesting that there isn't any God. They're just like the atheist, the infidel, who says, no God, or no God for me. No God. Others are promoting the idea that there once was a God, but somehow or another they've come to the conclusion that God is now dead. Why, I don't know, but that's what they believe and that's what they're promoting. There are some deny that God is the creator. They don't want a creator now, they'd rather believe this old theory of evolution. And let me say here publicly that the theory of evolution is not a scientific fact. No scientist, so-called, has ever yet given proof of evolution. They've been challenged and they cannot bring up their evidence. Evolution is a theory. It's a hypothesis. But then, my friend, a hypothesis is not a scientific fact. It's only a scientific theory. But creation we believe to be a fact. And when the Bible says, in the beginning God created, that's a statement of scientific fact, which has never been proved wrong. So I still believe that God is creator. But there are some who deny that God is the creator. There are others who laugh at the idea that God is the controller. But remember this, that God can put up or God can put down the rulers of this world. There are others who scoff and mock at the truth that God will be the consummator of this world system. But those of us who still hold to the faith and who still believe that the Bible is the book that gives to us the revelation from God, we can see that how God has prophesied in this book that He will consummate this world system. Remember this, we must ever keep in mind that God will have the last word. Away back in the history set before us in the Bible, God allowed mankind in the days of Noah to run to the final end, then destroyed every member of the human race who refused His offer of salvation. Isn't it strange that in the days when the world was characterized by unbelief, there was at least one man who had faith and believed God? His name was Noah. And Noah, because he believed God, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, so that God has never left Himself without a testimony. Again, in the days when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, He saw to it that He pulled His own out of it before the fire descended. In the days when the king of Egypt, with his hordes of soldiers, was about to destroy God's ancient people, God let them go to the final end, let them pursue until they came to the Red Sea, and then God had the final word, and God overthrew them. If you only read through the book of Daniel, especially chapter 2, you'll discover there again that God will have the final word when it comes to world affairs. One day, there was a good preacher, a man of God, man who believed the Bible, and he was in conversation with a doctor. The doctor did not share the belief of the preacher. The doctor would have called himself an infidel, one of these no-God men, you know. And after a while, their conversation turned upon Christianity and the message of the gospel. "I am surprised," said the medical man, "that such an intelligent man as you are should believe such an old fable as that." The preacher made no immediate reply, but waited a little. And then he said, "Doctor, supposing that years ago someone had recommended to you a prescription and said it was a cure for a certain disease that you were suffering from, and he gave you directions concerning this prescription. So you procured the medicine, you took the medicine as was directed, and you were cured of that disease. Suppose that you had used that prescription in your practice ever since, and that you had never known it to fail. What would you say to the man who could not believe in and would not try your prescription?" The doctor looked at the preacher and he said, "Well, I would say he was a fool." "All right," said the preacher. 25 years ago, I tried the power of God's grace. I believed God. It made a different man of me. All these years I have preached salvation to others, and wherever it has been accepted by faith, I have never known it to fail. I have seen it make the proud man become very humble. I have seen the drunkard made sober. I have seen the profane man have his speech purified. I have seen the thief become honest. The rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned, the old and the young have alike been helped of their awful soul disease called sin." The doctor looked and said, "Well, you have fairly caught me. Perhaps I have been the fool. And if all the record is true, he was persuaded and later on became a Christian worker. You see, my friend, it works. If I lose my faith, I lose my joy, you know. In saying that, I do not mean to imply that there is no sorrow in the Christian life. Of course not. Christians have sorrow, but if it's like a springing up well, it keeps springing up in the midst of all our sorrow. You see, after all, my friend, the Bible distinctly says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If I was to lose my faith, I would lose the joy of my salvation, wouldn't I? Watch this very carefully. Therefore, being justified, that is being saved, that's one aspect of salvation, being justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you have peace with God, you have joy in your heart. But then we're living in days when some are trying to overthrow the faith of others. They are trying to destroy the Word, and they're trying to destroy the faith. Now, faith in itself is nothing unless it has the proper object. Remember this, my friend. Faith is something far more than simply a mental assent. For example, even the demons believe and tremble. You know, the devil knows an awful lot more than we know. The devil knows that there is a God, and the devil knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but he wanted them to fall down and worship him. You see, the devil believes and trembles because he knows that his eternal doom is sealed. You know, Judas was a man who had at least some knowledge of the truth and yet was an unbeliever and died in unbelief. So after all, faith is just like the empty hand that stretches out and accepts the gift. You see, there was a time when a man said, "There's water, what does hinder me from being baptized?" And the preacher who was with him said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So you see, belief goes a lot further than simply giving a mental assent. It's something that rests in the inner man, in the soul, in the heart. Again, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Which simply tells us this, that this faith of which we speak is a faith that's deep-rooted in the inner man. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so therefore, when we come to the epistle to the Hebrews, and we read words like what I read to you at the beginning of this message, I was reading them from Hebrews chapter 11, which of course is a great chapter dealing with faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the ground or the confidence of that which is hoped for. And if one's faith is overthrown, then their hope is overthrown." Now I said that justification was one aspect of salvation, and so it is. But remember, the Christian, the true believer, the one who has exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a hope, and he's looking forward to the consummation of his salvation, which is called in the Bible the redemption of the body. Oh, it's one thing for a man to be able to say, "Well, my soul is saved, you know, and the flame and the torments mine eyes shall never see. I've trusted God. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." That's one thing. But we have the great hope set before us, and that hope is like an anchor of the soul. It's sure and it's steadfast, and amidst all the storms of life, you can rest assured, if your anchor grips the solid rock, you're looking forward for this tremendous hope that is set before us. We're looking forward again to the redemption of the body, the consummation of our salvation, when we shall be glorified with him. Not only to be with him, but to see him and to be like him. That is a consummation of the salvation. See, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I wonder, my friend, in your heart, have you responded to the revelation of God as given in the Bible? You see, the revelation comes to us in the written word of God, the Bible. And apart from what it tells us, we are in ignorance of the unseen world. I agree, it is true that in creation we have an unveiling of God. You'll find that according to Romans chapter 1 verse 20. But while creation tells us that God lives, it's the revelation of God in his word tells us he's a God of light, and the revelation of God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us he is a God of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that God has revealed himself. In creation, he's the living God. In the standard of the law, he's the God of light. But in the revelation that he has given in the person of his Son, he's a God of love. The blessed book assures us that behind the glittering orbs that gem the starry firmament of heaven beats the loving heart of God, according to John 3:16. My friend, I for one, I'm not prepared to part with this blessed volume that gives me that knowledge. Where do you stand today? Maybe I'm speaking to someone here, way back in the early days of your life. You sat under the teaching of some godly Sunday school teachers, or you listened to the preaching of some man of God, or it may be that even your mother or father at home taught you the things of God. But there came the time when someone overthrew your faith. They cast doubts into your mind, saying, "Hath God said?" And they led you on from doubting the word until you denied the word. And you said, "I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You just come into this world and you live and you die. Is that what you think, my friend?" I'll tell you this, that will bring you no joy. But to accept what is written in the Word of God, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to know what it means to be saved, why don't you get back, my friend, to the things you once believed? Don't let anyone overthrow you with regards to your salvation or with regards to your faith in the written word of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have drifted away from these standards and you're living a life of sin and has brought misery upon you, and brought distress upon you and distress upon others, let me remind you, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. You can turn, and you can turn now. You can turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then shall your final answer be saved for a long eternity. Now we want to thank you again for being tuned in at this time.